You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 170 of Well Met, Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Monday, October 15th, 2018, and I'm here in Kansas City. My name is J.R. Cook, I'm your host, and I'm joined by our full crew, our normal crew once again. We've got Danny and Ray. Danny, we missed you last week, but you did an extra show with Sippy Wee. But how have you been, man?
Good. Oh man, I'm super excited that Hearthstone's gonna have a change coming up soon.
Yeah, Ray and I talked about that last week, and Ray was like Mr. Negative, and I'm like, what if they do something? That would be cool. And Ray's like, no, they're not gonna do anything.
I didn't think that they would do anything too drastic.
You didn't think they would do anything at all. So I guess anything would be drastic.
You got me. I am surprised but not surprised at the same time on like what they nerfed. Like obviously Giggling Inventor was an issue, right? So like what they actually nerfed was like kind of unsurprising.
We'll talk about that here pretty soon.
We talked about Ixar's tweets last week too, which was like a good setup for explaining the nerfs, which we'll do later.
Right.
So I think that was almost an indicator of what they were going to nerf, if you paid attention to the developers. Funny to me, because he almost he signaled what was actually going to be nerfed by the way that he was talking.
I guess I didn't catch that.
Yeah, I'll talk about it later when we actually like get into it.
Interesting. Yeah, I'll have to remind
him. Yeah, I have a similar point as well about one thing too. So.
Oh yeah, like now or later?
Later.
Okay. So later, not now.
Definition of later.
Okay. Just making sure. No, I'm just, just joking with you guys. But no, we've had a pretty busy week. BlizzCon is getting close by, just a couple weeks away from that. And like I said, we had a couple episodes last week. Ray and I did one where we talked about some of the things happening with Hearthstone, about Mike Morhaime stepping down as president, and then Danny, you had the interview with Sippy Wee and talking about changing over from wild to standard competitive. So people got a couple doses last week. This week we've just got the normal crew, and I think next week we have the normal crew, and then I believe the week after that it's probably gonna have to be the two of you, because I will be heading out to BlizzCon, and then the week after that we'll have to figure it out, because Ray and I will be at BlizzCon. We might try to do a show at BlizzCon. I haven't decided.
I'm actually gonna be gone the week before too, because I have HCT, so I'll be in LA for 2 weeks, but. Like you said, I should still be able, like, we could still probably get in a show or two.
Yeah, so things might be a little weird as we approach BlizzCon, just so everybody is aware. But other than that, I think that's just the announcements of the show. I wanted to quickly get out of the way here. But Danny, what have you been up to? What have you been up to this last week? Hearthstone or anything related to anything?
So... In Hearthstone, I played in, I've been a part of this Into the Wild League, which is a league of a bunch of, we had playoffs this week. So I played up against Jonara, and I ended up losing the semifinals, but it was a lot of fun. Got to play some, I don't know, I think that building tournament lineups is just something that really resonates with me, because ladder's definitely gotten stale recently. I think last season, I think that was the first time in maybe a year and a half that I didn't hit legend. I didn't feel like playing enough games to get there. It was that bad. So I'm super I'm looking forward now at this point.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Maybe sometime we'll I know we did an episode not too long ago about tournament lineups. Maybe we'll revisit that at some point in the near future. It would have been a really good show if Blizzard had released tournament mode, but, you know. But, Ray, what have you been up to in this last week since we talked to you last?
Oh, man, I've streamed once. I went from rank 3 to rank 2 in, like, a couple hours, and then I've been playing a lot of Artifact. I don't know. It's really exciting what they're doing, and ironically, they just came out with the tournament mode today, so I've been preoccupied.
So how is their tournament mode?
I can't say, but
it
exists.
Still under NDA on that, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
I see.
Does that get lifted?
I would say maybe as soon as next week. Mm. So we'll see. Like I said the other week, is that both games have their cons and pros. So I'm just enjoying both games right now.
Yeah. Now I've been playing a little bit of Magic: The Gathering Arena. And I'm excited to see. We talked about these nerfs. We're going to talk about them a little bit later. I'm excited to see how that changes the meta, going forward, and if that will get me a little bit excited about playing the game a little bit more here right before BlizzCon. I do know for a fact that once BlizzCon hits, the announcements come out, I'm going to be super excited about the game again. It's just this common thing where a month or so before, you know, the next announcement of the next expansion, I just get bored with the game. Just happens. And
I think that's natural.
Yeah, just happens. That's where I'm at right now. Once we get whatever the new stuff they're working on comes out, I'll be super excited and wanting to play whatever it is and checking it out BlizzCon and hopefully talking to some of the developers at BlizzCon. I don't think we have any one-on-one interviews lined up yet. That might change here pretty soon. But I do know that there's a group one for Hearthstone. We have some group ones for the other games too, but for Hearthstone, I'll definitely be sure to hop into that one and learn about what's coming up. So that'll be something excited to look forward to. But other than that, I think we're ready for the news, right?
Yeah, I think last year was a group interview as well, wasn't it?
We had a one-on-one because
wasn't it with Brode?
No.
Yeah, but there were other people there.
It was you and John.
It was Brode, it was Yongwoo, right?
So it was you and John with Yongwoo and someone else. I don't remember.
Oh, okay. You're right. I'm getting it mixed up. We did one at PAX East or something.
Right. You had one at PAX East later that I believe was a group interview.
Yeah, it was a group interview, but like I kind of took it over completely because the other people had no idea about Hearthstone. It was really weird.
Yeah, that one was with Brode.
Yeah, okay. I'm getting it mixed up.
Yep. So, cool. Let's hop over to the news.
This Week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
So we got a handful of things. The big one we'll talk about, we've already mentioned. We'll talk about that here at the end. But the first thing I wanted to get out of the way, we've already been talking about BlizzCon, upcoming BlizzCon. If you're going to BlizzCon, awesome. If you are there early, come check out my panel that I will be in at Con Before the Storm. I will be on the kickoff panel at 5 p.m. We're just going to be talking about BlizzCon in general and talking about podcasting and things like that. I'll be on there with a few other people. I think it'll be moderated by Pat Crane from a Convert to Raid podcast. And I'm super excited for that. I'm super excited to meet you guys out there. But if you're not going to BlizzCon, you can always get the virtual ticket. It's $50. And the Hearthstone team just announced some of the rewards that you're going to get by either going to BlizzCon or getting the virtual ticket. And one of those is, of course, you always get the BlizzCon 2018 or the BlizzCon card back. This will be the BlizzCon 2018 card back. And in addition to that, you'll get 10 packs. You get 2 Classic, 2 Un'Goro, 2 Frozen Throne, 2 Kobolds, and 2 Witchwood. So that's kind of an improvement from last year or from years past. I believe in the past we've either gotten a card back or a new card. They stopped doing the new card after 2 years, or maybe it was just the 1 year.
Wasn't that ETC?
Yeah, it was ETC.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah, I think, I don't know how I feel about this. It's kind of weird to me that, what?
It's free stuff, though.
It is free stuff. I agree. You're right. It's free stuff.
Did you want more free stuff?
I did, yes. Very much so.
What would you want?
Or not just the packs, though. The packs are so, like, you get packs for doing everything. You get packs for choosing the champion. You get packs if you do the bit thing for cheer for your champion thing. Like, you get packs for everything. It'd be nice if you got something a little bit unique.
Like a card back?
Yeah, that is definitely unique.
I would take a card back at this point. That would be...
I mean, that's what you're getting.
You already got a card back. Or card... Not card back, like promo card, like you said, ETC. I don't know why they would stop that stuff.
They did it that one year, like the first year, and then I think they decided that it might piss some people off if they continue doing that. Because not everybody's going to pay the $50 for the virtual ticket, not everybody's going to pay to go to BlizzCon, but...
But ETC was such a bad card.
Yes. It was a fun card. I love playing it. I still love playing it. Just because of the effect. Like, not the effect of the card, but the effect on the board where he, like, jams out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because it's like a...
Yeah, the animation.
The rock and roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I can see that. I just think that, like, people who go to BlizzCon should get something that reminds them that they went to BlizzCon.
I agree. I like what they did with the virtual ticket, making it available to everybody. I do like that. I think I would have liked to have seen a hero, like a new hero.
Yeah, that's something along the lines I was thinking of. They still haven't tapped into, like, changing your mana crystals or something, so they're like a different color or design or something. There's a ton of untapped potential they have just with the board, and they haven't done it. Like, there's just so much they could do.
That could be cool. Like, if you'd gone to BlizzCon, like, maybe you get... every once in a while, you get a queue up into a BlizzCon board, and if you're playing against that person who went to BlizzCon, you get it too. That'd be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah, it's like the Pokemon virus.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, what's that?
It's like it was a thing that existed in Pokemon where it was called like the Pokemon virus, and like if you battle against a Pokemon that had the Pokemon virus, like your Pokemon would get it. But it was like a good thing, okay. And like eventually it just like spread, and then everybody got it. So it's kind of like that idea.
I see.
Of just everybody gets it.
Yeah, that's something like wacky that Blizzard would totally do.
Yeah,
if they were taking risks.
I agree. I think something like that would be pretty cool. I can get on board with something like that. Like, yeah, I like free packs, but I agree with you guys. Something more unique. You get free packs for everything. I agree. The other thing to talk about at BlizzCon, if you have a virtual ticket or you're going to BlizzCon, the virtual store has opened up. There are some Hearthstone things in it. You've got the Art of Hearthstone book, which is coming out, I believe, next week or later this week. The limited version of that, which is, it looks like a Hearthstone box, opens up. I think that's kind of cool. It's like $100 for the limited edition version of this book. I'm not sure I'll ever pay $100 for a book, by the way, but there you go. It's got a poster, some shirts, hats, and an adventure backpack. So that's what we've seen so far. If you're into the pin trading stuff, Ava, which is a little girl who's in the cinematics that they started making this year, she's one of the pins in the set of 10 that they have. So Hearthstone represents in that area. And I believe in the Cute But Deadly, the little figurines, the wizard. I don't remember the wizard's name, though. He's in there from the little cinematics, too. So the characters that you never see in the game, but only in the cinematics, you can get those in collectibles, I guess. I know Ray's really into that. I know he's wanting the little wizard, and he wants like a stuffed animal of it so he can cuddle up next to it at night.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was missing in my life. Is the little wizard that could.
The little wizard that could.
That's what you need to win HCT.
No.
Just the wizard doll.
Or it was either that or maybe it was the innkeeper that you wanted, like the dwarf innkeeper. You wanted a body pillow of him.
I wanted the body pillow of the dwarf? Does that exist? Because I'm buying it if it does.
Exactly.
Like, straight up.
No, it doesn't really exist, but it needs to exist.
Wait, so it doesn't exist? Are you pulling my leg?
No, I totally made that up. The body pillow is not a thing.
That's why would you do that to me? I was just literally putting that on my Christmas list. I was Santa Claus was ready.
Dear Santa, please bring me an innkeeper body pillow.
Oh God.
Yo, for real though, oh, actually.
Man. All right, so if anybody at Blizzard is listening and you're on the merchandise team, you need to make an innkeeper body pillow just specifically for Ray.
I mean,
or if any listeners are listening and want to make an innkeeper body pillow,
Ray wants one for me. I'll take it.
All right. Anyway, moving on. Done talking about BlizzCon. We did have a big tournament this last week. Did you guys watch it? We had the HCT Fall Championships.
I watched a bit of the last day.
I watched most of it. I thought that it went really well. Like in terms of like who won, I feel like the people who played well ended up getting there and really deserved it. The only person who I was sad to see not make it was Tyler, because I feel like he's been trying very hard throughout the whole year, and he came just short and lost to Blood Trail and at the end.
Yeah, so the top four was just Saiyan, Blood Trail, and then in the finals was Bloody Face and Language Hacker, with Language Hacker taking it all.
Mm-hmm.
And for those that listened to us last week, Ray and I last week, who just said just take just Saiyan, you should be three packs richer if you just listened to us. Just saying.
Sure, they
just
did.
Just saying.
I'm sure they listened to it. There's no way they didn't listen to us. No way. I refuse to believe that.
I refuse to believe it too, but it happens. It happens.
Nah, it doesn't happen. They listen.
Was there?
They got their packs.
Were there any exciting moments that either of you saw that you know stood out to you in this tournament? Different than other tournaments.
Exciting moments
in Hearthstone.
I mean, there was the doubling imp that became a 6/6. I don't remember who or what game, but there was double soul infusion into 6/6 blood imp.
That's impressive.
It's pretty impressive. Very,
takes a lot of skill.
I saw a couple times people get rid of the shutter walk, making people discard the shutter walk. I saw that a couple times.
Yeah, Synthalul's Shudderwalk burn was an iconic moment for the tournament, 100%. It's because that's like the fourth time in a row he's done it or something like that. It was crazy, actually, when you think about it. Just because if there's consistency in Hearthstone, like that's it right there. He consistently burned Shudderwalk every single tournament, which is pretty hilarious to me and also sad at the same time for him.
Oh, but, do you know what the best moment was? You know, I do remember the moment that was the best part. It was when Cora was interviewing Killin' All Day, and all of a sudden TJ rips off his shirt and he's still wearing a Yo-Cad shirt. That was the best part.
That exists?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was watching that. And then Killin' All Day was just being interviewed randomly. And then they go, well, TJ has something to show you. And then they go back and he just rips his shirt open because he's wearing like a button down, and underneath hashtag Yo-Cad.
It's actually amazing. That's
that's dedication. That's what that is.
That is dedication to the cause of Killin' All Day. That he really, we had him on the podcast at some point.
Yeah, it was a few months ago.
Yeah, he's just been trying so hard for a while, and it's really cool to see like his character kind of build up. It's almost like an anime, and he's a protagonist, and you're just watching the character development.
Mm. All right.
I don't actually watch anime, so I don't know if that's how that goes.
Yeah, I don't either, so I'm kind of lost.
I just assume that. Yeah. But yeah, and this weekend, like, we had the Cintillo burn. I don't really think there was anything really like, oh my god, that was like insane besides that. But there was a lot of very good play from people like Saiyan. Bloody Face played very well throughout groups and then in top eight. And then Language Hacker. I mean, he's been on the grind too. Like these players, Bloody Face and Language Hacker, have been in the game, I don't even know how long. Probably longer than I have, honestly. Like, Bloody Face, definitely. He's been playing longer than I have, so it's really cool to see it pay off, especially since he quit his job to go full-time Hearthstone, if I remember correctly.
Oh, wow.
This year. I'll have to try to ask him if he wants to come on the podcast at some point.
Yeah?
Because he's a really cool dude.
That would be cool.
Language Hacker, they're both really cool.
Yeah, maybe we can talk to them sometime here after BlizzCon and get them on.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll probably be like at a point where there is another set coming out. So like they're not really testing for Worlds yet. So they can kind of talk about everything pretty freely since it's not really going to matter.
Yeah.
So that's like a really good time is right before a new set drops. Because they're fine like divulging all their secrets about like these things and like how to prepare for a tournament since the whole metagame changes and everything changes. But you could still learn from the process. Just like with Fury Hunter, how he explained how he prepared for a tournament and stuff, even though the specifics don't matter anymore because the metagame's changed, the actual like process is still the same.
Yeah, it's always cool to listen to. You learn quite a bit from that, even if you're not like gonna be like a super competitive player, and just learning that process or at least hearing how that process goes is always pretty cool.
Yeah.
One thing I will say is the casters always seem, and the production value of these Hearthstone tournaments always seem to just impress me. Like, I think they do an amazing job, all of the casters and everything, how much fun they have doing this.
They had the skits this time, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw any of those, but those were actually really funny.
No, I didn't get a chance to see any of them, but
they weren't like
on YouTube. I want to check them out at some point.
Yeah, they weren't like animated skits or anything. Like those I thought were kind of lame, but these were like actual funny skits with like the casters and stuff. Like, I don't know, they really just nailed production this time. It was so good. It was like they're starting to really kind of get into their own groove, I want to say, with just the people involved with HCT, whether it's the casters or the people who do production. It seems they're really starting to hit their stride, and it's the production's just been really good.
Yeah, pretty excited to see some of them at BlizzCon too. I'm looking forward to hopefully being able to meet face to face with a handful of them out there this year. If I'm not up in the press room all day long like I have been in the past,
but it's okay. I'll get you out, JR. I'll force you.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good.
What? You don't believe me?
I saw you more last year at BlizzCon than I saw of John, so we'll go with that. So I'll believe you to a certain extent.
You know, I'm really good at. Actually, wait, did I try to get you into that party and then end up not being able to? I don't remember if you came with us.
No, that was John. That was John that you did that to, I believe.
Was that John?
Yeah.
Okay, that was John. I couldn't remember if it was you or John.
Yeah, I didn't. Last year was the first year I wasn't invited to the mixer or whatever, the community one that they have.
Because you're not invited doesn't mean you can't get in.
I know. You told us that. Told us that before.
That's my philosophy.
Yep. I get a good this year, though, apparently. So apparently last year my invite just got lost in the mail. That's probably what happened, to be honest.
I don't know if that's funny or sad or both.
The big thing we wanted to talk about this week, we've talked about BlizzCon, we've talked about championships. I think we're done with the show, right? Oh, wait, no. The thing that Ray said wouldn't happen this week. We got nerfs. We got them nerfs.
We do.
So, the Hearthstone team announced shortly after we did the show last week, where Ray was like, they're not going to do anything. And I'm like, well, wouldn't the best time to do it would be, you know, right after the world championship or right after the fall championships? Where he's like, yeah, that would be the best time to do it, but they're not going to do it. Well, guess what? Right after we recorded that show, like the next day, they said, hey, we're going to have some nerf announcements that we're going to announce after the championships. And then they announced those nerfs today, and they come out Thursday. Is that right?
Yep.
So they come out Thursday, and the first one was Mana Worm. Mana Worm is changing to 2 mana.
Yeah, I mean, I knew about the nerf. I didn't think that they would make it 2 mana, though. I thought that they would do something more, like make it a 1/2, kind of like what they do with a lot of the other cards, like Novice Engineer.
That's
they just took
that's
away
what
health.
I expected. That's what I expected, too, was a 1/2.
This nukes the card, though.
Yeah, like it's unplayable now. Like Mana Worm is on, I don't want to even say the same level as Mana Addict. It's actually just like worse than Mana Addict. So,
this is like Undertaker style nerf.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. I don't know why they did that. Like, Temple Mage is dead. Like, there could
the,
maybe
the only reason I could see them doing something like this is if they're preparing for another card coming out next expansion. And I say that every single time Blizzard makes a dumb decision, but I honestly believe that this time. I think they have this. This opens up so much more like possibilities in Mage to have some more aggressive cards that get put in. And it's going to be a nice change of pace if they do that. So they're setting up very well for that, but hopefully they just don't fall flat on their face.
I just don't think they like aggro. I don't know. I think that they're, the way that they interpret data makes me think that they don't like aggro, which is really weird because they like cards like Kel'Seth. So it kind of confuses me a little bit. But last week, when I was doing the podcast with JR, we talked about how Ixar made a lot of tweets. And I said this at the beginning of the show, if you really paid attention to the developer's tweets, he foreshadowed Mana Worm getting nerfed. I don't know if you linked his tweets last week in the show notes.
I did not.
Yeah, I mean, you could just go to his Twitter. It's just Ixar.
HS. Yeah.
And what he was saying is that he was saying Tempo Mage is actually the highest win rate deck. Like, people were complaining about Quest Rogue and stuff, and his argument was, oh, well, our internal data that I can't show you says, like, this isn't an issue. And, like, that whole conversation that we had last week, which I don't want to, like, repeat myself, but he mentioned that Tempo Mage had the highest win rate out of any deck for, like, the overall ladder. And if you look deeper into that, like if you look at Hearthstone Replay, which is kind of what I would imagine is a smaller sample size of what they have as a whole, and you see, you look at Tempo Mage and Mana Worm, when it's drawn on turn one, obviously it's going to increase your win rate by like 5 to 10%, which is a huge swing for any singular card. And if you paid attention to the tweets of like him saying that Tempo Mage was the best deck, like that's what they're really looking at, not Quest Rogue, then I can see where their mind is at when they want to just get rid of Mana Worm. Because from the data that they're looking at, the way they're interpreting it, since they're looking at the overall data, not just like legend data or anything like that, it's actually Mana Worm that's the most problematic card in the game because it's it has such a swingy win rate. Like if you look at Tempo Mage with Mana Worm on turn one versus not turn one, and to them, it is the top deck of the whole game. I can see where their mind's at, where they just want to get rid of it. And when you look at it from that perspective, it makes a lot more sense. Because I see a lot of people on Twitter, like, just completely taken away by the fact that Mana Worm was nerfed. Like, they seem blindsided by it, which I can see that. Like, it definitely isn't on your radar of, like, problematic cards because it doesn't really jump out as, like, overly powerful since it's, like, a turn one play. It's not, like, super broken that you just immediately say, wow, I just lose to that. People are more thinking of cards like Giggling Inventor, Spreading Plague, just cards that are super swingy like that, as opposed to Mana Worm, where it's like it's just not as upfront about its power level, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, and to be fair, like, even though they said like Tempo Mage from internally is the most of all ladder, like Tempo Mage was like the number one deck. If you look at, you know, some of the things, like Tempo Mage was not, you know, rank 5 and up, not even close to that, I don't believe. It was the most played deck, I'll give it that, and if it's the most played and it has a high win rate, yeah. But if you look at, like, the BlizzPro Ladder Optimizer that came out, where they take rates from HS Replay and Vicious Syndicate, Tempo Mage was quite a bit down there. Is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, number 11.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that when you're not taking from the overall, you're really getting a very different skill level.
Right.
Like if you're a rank like 18 player and you're playing Tempo Mage and get Mana Worm on one, like no matter how bad you are at the game, you're still just gonna be able to snowball that tempo Mana Worm with Tempo Mage. Like, you're still just going to, it's more intuitive, you know, than something else. Like, a different card in a different deck. Even, to some degree, Spreading Plague is more skill-based than than Mana Worm, because you have to choose when to actually use it. Like, you want to save it and get a bigger Spreading Plague board, that kind of thing. So I can see how the data can be so different than what the rest of us see.
Right. So this feels like it's a nerf that is made to appease the average player and not the top players.
Honestly, I don't even think the average player thought of it as an issue, because nobody else did. Or at least, like, from what you can see on, like, Reddit or what you can see on Twitter, people don't really complain about Mana Worm because it's so...
But Blizzard is seeing that. Like, Blizzard saw that from their data.
Right, right. But I don't really think the casuals were getting, like, put off by Mana Worm. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Do you think... But this is still going to change the meta, because it makes Tempo Mage not as good.
I mean, Tempo Mage wasn't really that big of a factor in the metagame, because
it was number 11 on this list.
And, well, the reason why it was even, like, relevant, in my opinion, was that it was the biggest counter to Quest Rogue. But they also nerfed Quest Rogue. So it's true. Like, I don't know. It's kind of like it's just weird to me, where they nerf the deck's best matchup. So, like, in essence, if they had just nerfed Quest Rogue, then they're nerfing Tempo Mage as well, because that's, like, the main reason to play it.
But they had to have seen a reason, because in my opinion, like, they could have lived with Mana Worm through the next set, and then if they still saw Mana Worm as a problem, they could have moved it to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm surprised by it as, like, a competitive player. But if I look at it from their perspective, I understand what they're seeing and how they're interpreting that data.
Yeah, I mean, in their description, they basically had said, we're trying to move away from early game one drops, and this is why we did it.
Which basically means they don't like aggro, which is really weird to me, since they want their game to be board-centric, because the reason they gave for Gigling Inventor even being created was that they like neutral taunts, because what was the wording they used? It creates, like...
counterplay on the board.
It creates board tension or whatever. Which, if they want a more board-centric, like, attrition-based game, then they want more one-drops, not less one-drops. Like, aggro and mid-range is how you get those metagames where it's, like, really aggro, mid-rangey, and, like, attrition-based. But if they want to just get rid of one-drops or make them less relevant, it seems like they're going for a more control meta, especially with the nerf of Quest Rogue. It's like, I don't know, they want control. They want, like, druid type anti-control and, like, control to be really strong.
Yeah.
And, like, Hunter, I guess, is a good example. Like, a mid-range. I would say Hunter is, like, a mid-range anti-control deck, the Death Rattle Hunter. Yeah. And Hydronox Druid, I would say, is, like, pretty anti-control. And I feel like, for whatever reason, they like those decks more than aggressive decks, which is what gives you the board attrition matchups.
Right.
Like, old school Zoo was Hearthstone how they wanted it to be played. And
did they know that, though, initially with Zoo? Because, I mean, there were a bunch of ragtag minions put in there. I remember, like, the initial lists ran, like, Shieldbearer and stuff. Like, yeah. I don't think they intended for Zoo. I mean, they probably knew that some sort of Zoo existed, but I don't think it... I think it took a mind of its own point.
I mean, look at some of the very early nerfs in the game. We're all based around minions that were in Zoo, though. There's a bunch of them that Zoo ran that those minions got nerfed. I'm trying to think of some of them. So there was the 2/3 Sun Fury Protector had gotten a nerf.
You mean Defender of Argus was a 3/3?
No, Defender of Argus. Sorry, Defender of Argus got a nerf. The one that was, like, also a 3/3, I think, that would give a target minion a +1/+1. That card never sees play anymore.
Oh, Sunfire Protector, yeah.
No, Sunshatter Cleric.
Yeah, Sunshatter Cleric.
Yeah.
There was the Argent Defender
Commander.
Which I believe was a 4/3, and they nerfed it to a 4/2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So all of those were played in Zoo at one point. There was one with charge that would give your opponent a mana crystal.
Arcane Golem. Yeah.
So, I mean,
then they nerfed Leroy.
Yeah,
I mean, then, they're nerfing all. They nerf. They don't like charge.
They've and made that they nerfed. Yeah, and they nerfed the Soulfire. They nerfed Power Overwhelming. So there's a lot of cards that over time that were played in Zoo that they nerfed for various reasons. So I'm not sure I'm too surprised that they decided to nerf Manowarm.
Mm. It's just like weird though, because when Danny asks, like, are you sure that's how they want the game to be played? That's how they present the tutorial. Like,
that's true.
You play Murloc, like a 2-1 Murloc on turn one. You play River Crocolisk on turn two. Like, they want you to be figuring out how combat works, yeah, and that kind of stuff. The approach that they're taking to the game, there is not going to be early combat in the game for the most part. Like, if they want to get rid of
on turn two, if I play a Crocolisk, like, that's not a powerful card. Whereas right, Manowarm
that's why it's not Manowarm's, played.
Yeah, but Manowarm is, for obvious reasons.
Yeah. Like,
they just don't want powerful one drops, it sounds like.
Which means that they're not going to have the game that they're representing to beginners. Like, the
They can always print, like, one drops, like, what is it, the Firefly? They can print one drops that aren't super powerful, but still are. I mean, you have to play at this point just because of the lack of good one drops. Like, you play Firefly in Odd Rogue. You play, like, if Odd Rogue had Mana Worm, like, that would be devastating. But, like, I don't know. I think having a 1/2 is on one is definitely something to consider. Like, the power level of one drops have gone down, but I think that that's because Blizzard realizes how quickly things can spiral out of control.
Mm. I guess they just prefer their, like, strong cards to be, I don't know. I feel like drawing Kel'Seth is, like, infinitely an infinitely worse feeling than, like, having your opponent play Manowarm on one. Because, like, Manowarm, you can answer. Something like Kel'Seth, like, you just lose, and you just can't do anything about it. Like, at least you can kill cards like Manowarm.
Yeah, and I think the difference here, though, is Kel'Seth is going to rotate out, like, very soon, and Manowarm's in forever.
I mean, they could Hall of Fame it in April.
Yeah, which is what I said, that... Like, and that whole Hall of Fame system just...
Yeah, I think this all does come down to the classic set, right? The evergreen set. The set that will always exist in the game. Well, like, you have cards like Manowarm, like Wild Growth, Nourish. You have cards that will be defining for every class. And that just limits design space.
Yeah, they just need to come up with a better system than having the classic set be forever. Like, I hate to say it, but I've said it a lot in this show.
I think that Hearthstone might be the only game that is, like, successful, that a card game that has a consistent evergreen set that never changes. Like,
and who knows, maybe
Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, like, all those games just, like, have a rotation that's, like, normal.
Yeah, and who knows, maybe now that... all of these original people that were on this Hearthstone team to begin with, like Ben Brode and Yang Wu and all of them, even though I love those guys and girls that were on that team, maybe the new blood will finally decide that, hey, the classic set, we're gonna change how that works. Who knows?
The issue I see with that is they always want to be catering to new players. That's one of the things. I actually watched Ben Brode's PAX developer talk.
Yeah.
And he goes in a lot of detail about keeping new players in the game. And, like, that was his main focus. And he says, the main thing that I took away from that, he had, like, a graph where it's, like, new player win rate versus, like, experienced player win rate. And he said, at some point, you need to find the line where, like, you're taking some win rate percentage points off of the experienced players to keep the new players in. And that is their perspective. That's what that Hearthstone team is founded on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is unfortunate.
I think it's just a different design philosophy than what we've seen before from other games.
Yeah, yeah. But Hearthstone is hugely successful for a reason. So they're quite possibly doing something right, and we just don't agree with it. That happens.
I mean, they're doing something right in the sense of making money.
Yes. They're doing a good job of that.
You can also say that by them making money, they're able to continuously put new stuff out. Some point too, if you don't affect the bottom line, I know everyone's always like Blizzard's like cash grabbing, and they definitely do that. But at some point, if they don't make money and they can't stay afloat, then they just won't print more stuff, and the game's done.
I mean, if there's anything that anything that Blizzard does right, it's the experience of their games. Like, I can hop in, I can play a game, I can have fun, and it feels natural. I can't say the same. I can't say the same about Magic: The Gathering Arena, right? The only reason I probably play that game is because I've had so much experience with Magic: The Gathering that I was able to hop in and just go. A new player wouldn't be able to do that because the game is not that simple.
I agree. That is very true. I think that is it's just interesting to me because the philosophy that they use for Hearthstone is really good. But at the same time, you see games like League of Legends, which is super complicated, in my opinion. Like, the learning curve, like, to just be able to play the game on a level where it's, like, somewhat enjoyable is so high. Like, it takes so many games just to be able to, like, come close to being able to, like, play to the point where you could actually enjoy it and not just die immediately. And yet that's the most, like, one of the most popular games in the world. Same with Fortnite. I mean, Fortnite is incredibly skill-based in terms of the building mechanic, and that's the most popular game right now. So it's really, I don't know. It's interesting to me.
And I just don't get Battle Royale games. Like, I just do not. I don't know why people like them so much.
I don't either. I don't understand it. And it's not like it's easy. Like, being able to build in Fortnite is, like, very skill-intensive.
Right.
And very mechanically intensive.
Like, I've tried playing PUBG. I tried playing, what was the original one that came out?
H1Z1.
Yeah, H1Z1. That's the one that I tried first. I tried PUBG. I haven't even attempted Fortnite yet. I tried the Battle Royale and Call of Duty. And, like, all of those, like, I've played, like, one or two games, and I'm like, I don't see the fun in this. Like, I run around, I see, like, one or two people, and then I die. I'm like, I'm done. I just wasted, you know, 15, 20 minutes running around, picking up things, and dying. Cool.
Yeah, some people love it, though, and that's, like,
I just don't get it.
Where that's where I get, like, confused. Like, obviously, this philosophy is really good for new players, but for some reason, the philosophy of, like, actually having a game that has an incredibly high skill cap and isn't friendly to new players is also just successful.
Yeah. And so in the case of Fortnite, I mean, it's free to play.
I mean, obviously that is a huge aspect where Hearthstone, like, costs more money, but, like,
Hearthstone's free to play.
Yeah, this, okay, yeah, true. You're right.
I mean, the difference, though, is in Hearthstone, I hate to say this, because I didn't feel that way when the game first came out, but I have changed my tune since then, just because of just trying to keep up with Standard. Is the game is fairly expensive if you want to jump in right off the bat and be competitive and try to be competitive. You're going to probably have to buy some packs to get caught up. In Fortnite, like I said, I haven't played Fortnite, so I could be incorrect on this, but I don't believe that anything that you buy actually affects your gameplay at all.
No, it doesn't. It's just
cosmetics. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's all cosmetics, so you could theoretically be the best in the world.
Right, so you're going to have a bunch of... So one of the reasons why Fortnite is so successful is kids are obsessed with it because they can get it and play it on anything. They made it available on several devices, mobile devices, like every single console on the PC. You can just download and play it. You don't have to spend any money. You don't have to get your parents' credit card to play it. And you don't need any of that to be competitive with the game whatsoever. And it has probably one of the most popular streamers of all time that plays it. And he's, like, doing, like, Super Bowl commercials and crap like that now. So,
I mean,
and he's friends with Drake. So
he wasn't popular before Fortnite, though.
Right. But the he game, is now.
Well, yeah. But, I don't think Ninja made Fortnite successful, like, even more so successful than it already would have been. Like, Ninja got popular because of the game and because of Epic Games promoting him, not because he was successful before and now he's helping out Fortnite.
Right.
Which he is now. Like, that is the case. Like, he is successful. He's helping out Fortnite, but it was not, like, he was playing Fortnite for, like, a year before he blew up.
Yeah, it's just, well, keep in mind, like, Fortnite was not popular when it came out because it didn't have Battle Royale mode. Like, it was a completely different... It's a completely... Because I owned Fortnite the day it came out, and I played it, and I will not play it now because of the Battle Royale is what took over the mode. I actually enjoyed the original mode that they had, that the game would have bombed if it had kept. So that just shows you my taste. I just have different tastes than other people, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, that mana worm.
We started talking about other things here, but so the next card that got nerfed, Giggling Inventor, is gone from 5 mana to 7 mana. This seems to be a direct hit to Quest Rogue.
I just want to say something. Dr. Boom is 7 mana. Giggling Inventor is 7 mana. Just let that sink in. Yeah, I think it's dead. I think they nerfed it.
Well, I mean, I'm glad they didn't push it to 6 mana, because if they put it at 6 mana, this is one of the things that Blizzard has to do with how they designed Gen and Baku. It's like, it was strong in odd decks before, but all of a sudden it transitions into the even slot if they put it at 6. So then you have even Paladin, even Shaman Wild would go bonkers with it, and then, what was it? It would be crazy in even lock. So I'm glad they put it to 7 and killed it entirely, than just make it into an even card.
Yeah,
that's a really good point. I didn't really think of that, but yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, I'm happy with it. I'm happy they basically killed it. It's gone. It's dead. However, I don't think that it will kill Quest Rogue.
No, it won't.
It'll just lessen the polarity of it. Now aggro will be able to kill it a little bit more consistently.
I would say a lot more consistently. I would say that the Zoo is just going to slaughter it now. Obviously, Tempo Mage isn't really going to be a thing anymore. So what are the other aggro decks? Token Druid isn't a thing anymore for the most part, at least with like the in the version that it was at previously with like Scavenger or Stonehill Scavenger. With like the Ginglings and stuff, that's obviously dead now. They nerfed Mana Worm, so Tempo Mage is dead. Like, what are the other aggro decks in the format that Quest Rogue was worried about that were bad matchups? Like Odd Rogue probably just wins now, which is kind of cool. Like Odd Rogue just destroys it, because that was the way that Quest Rogue won, was just Giggling Inventor is so strong against Odd Rogue. But yeah, I think they did what they were trying to do. Aggro decks will destroy Quest Rogue now, so it's going to be relegated to specific metagames and mainly tournament play. But for tournament play, I still think that it's viable. I think it's very viable as an anti-control deck.
Yeah. Does the removal of Giggling Inventor mess around with tech cards now? Do people just like cut Mossy Horror and Blood Knight? So now, I don't know, that's going to make me think that Druid's just going to be really strong in Standard.
Yeah, I think Blood Knight and Mossy Horror both like aren't getting added to decks.
Well, I think that Mossy Horror will still stay as a one of in decks like Evenlock to check Druid. I think Mossy Horror was mainly in decks like Evenlock to counter Spreading Plague, but it also just happened to hit Giggling Inventor, which was super convenient.
Yeah, that's true. Spreading Plague is still going to be annoying. It's a good.
But what else was Mossy Horror played in? Hunter? So Hunter, I think Hunter...
Hunter will keep because of the eggs, right?
Hunter had it as a 2-of, maybe it goes to a 1-of now, but it's still very important because you need to be able to deal with Spreading Plague and it pops the eggs, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think Blood Knight's still gonna go away for a bit.
Oh, Blood Knight's like, yeah.
Yeah.
That card's not gonna see play anymore.
About cards like MC Tech? Does MC Tech still see as much play? Because Giggle Inventor, like, automatically gave you an MC Tech. I bet the percentage goes down a bit with MC Tech.
Maybe, but I don't think it's gonna drop much, if at all.
I disagree. I think MC Tech is definitely taking a hit here. I think that it goes down by probably. It's definitely not a staple 2-of in certain decks anymore. Like you're comfortable with playing one just because it's gonna hit less often.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Like I just didn't see it like going away significantly. Like, it's still a tech card that, especially if you see any kind of token decks, anything that is good at flooding the board, I still think that in your control shaman, control warlocks and those kind of decks. Like, I still think you at least see one in them, just because they're like any control deck. I think you see them.
Yeah, I think it's like, I think Zoo is gonna be pretty popular still, and mind control tech's still very strong against Zoo. It's still gonna be a staple in Druid, but maybe it gets cut back to one. And
Danny, yeah,
nature's gonna rise against all of us. That's what I'm gonna say about that.
Druid is making a big comeback. Danny, I wanted to
that's
ask
what you guys think.
No, Danny, I wanted to ask with these two cards, Mana Worm and Giggling Inventor seeing nerf, will those affect Wild that much? I know the next card we're going to talk about will, but I'm wondering specifically about these two.
So for Wild, these barely impact anything. Giggling Inventor was a tech card in Odd Rogue. Like, you didn't play it because you had better options. And maybe it was in, what, Reno Lock? And Reno Lock can just replace it with Sludge Belcher and then just go back to the Nazoth package. So, and Mana Worm, the Tempo Mage wasn't that good. So that really didn't affect the metagame. But the next card really is going to completely blow open Wild.
Yeah, so the final card that we're seeing nerfed is Aviana, which for those that play Standard, you'll be like, what's this card? Aviana is the 5/5 that your minions cost one. It has moved from 9 mana to 10. I think the biggest change there is the fact that you can't pull this in Coon at the same time with Psych Melon, the Juicy Psych Melon. And
yeah,
also
that's one of the, that's huge.
Yeah, that's probably the big one of the two. The other one being that you can't play Aviana on turn 10 and still have one mana to play Coon on the same turn, unless you have like a coin or something like that.
Yeah, you have to have like an innervate effect, and that just completely destroys any combo druid, which was the polarizing deck for Wild. Like, you couldn't play any combo decks because everyone was playing double Dirty Rat in every deck they possibly could. Like, Warrior was running double Deathlord, double Dirty Rat, and then like every single option you were trying to draw minions out of your opponent's hand, and just because of Starliner Druid. And now Starliner Druid, some people are trying to make it come back and say, oh, you can just play double Melon, it just could be a lot slower, but that's dead. Togwaggle Druid, you got to play Twig or Innervate, so that's just going to be so much slower. Like, aggro beats that considerably now, where it just didn't in the past. So this brings back combo decks and it brings back mid-range decks. And so those two styles of deck have been pretty much non-existent in Wild. So there's going to be maybe about 10 to 12 new decks that just pop up because of this. Or just not new decks, but like old decks that come back that weren't being able to be played.
Yeah, and I thought this was interesting because most people I talked to seemed to think that Juicy Psych Melon was going to get a nerf. I mean, it sort of did indirectly. I think a lot of people were surprised that Aviana was the one that got it. But looking at it, I think it's a great change. Like, I would have rather seen this.
Me too. I thought that if you're going to nerf anything, it would be the Melon. But, I mean, it makes sense not to nerf it because it's a brand new card. And Blizzard's philosophy of keeping the new cards as they are. But this disrupts combo Druid just indefinitely, right? Like, that combo will always be around Aviana into Coon, and then broken stuff will happen. So tying back to the beginning when I said there was something that was going on, in that initial post when Blizzard went out and said, hey, what do you guys feel about Wild? What's the future of Wild? I think they had this nerf in mind, and they wanted to reach out to the community and say, hey, do you want to see a bunch of broken things happen every single time you play? Or do you want to see something a little bit more restrained? And I would assume that their feedback that they got from that was, yeah, we should definitely keep everything in check.
Yeah, I think I don't even play Wild now. I think it's a great change, just based on what I've heard you talk about.
Yeah, it should be good. It definitely, back to that gameplay, it's going to bring everything a lot more board-centric. A lot of things were just reliant on, can I Dirty Rat my opponent out, and then do I hit the right minion?
Yeah,
and
that just feels bad.
It just gets boring after a while.
Yeah, it feels like you're just trying to... You're playing a slot machine if you're able to do that or not.
Something that's ironic is that Ike actually posted that he's been playing Starliner Druid in Standard. He plays Mossy Horror and Blade Ma- What is it? It's the Injured Blade Master. So he gets out like Injured Blade Master with
the Oaken Summons.
The Oaken Summons, and he plays double Mossy Horror and stuff. So it's obviously like very janky, but it's just kind of funny to me that Starliner Druid gets nerfed, and he posts about like Starliner Druid. I was like, wait, are you playing wild now, bro? Like, what is happening? He's like, no, this is standard. What are you talking about? It's funny.
Are there any cards? So these are the only three that we saw get nerfed. Are there any cards that any of you thought we should have seen nerfed?
Yes. Spreading Plague.
I think Spreading Plague is...
That was the one I was going to say, too.
Yeah. Spreading Plague is going to haunt me forever, because I think that Blizzard is intentionally trying to keep it in the game and then rotate it out, and it's just going to be the bane of Druid and Wild, just because of Poison Seeds, because on 10 mana, no matter how big your opponent's board is, you can Poison Seed Spreading Plague, and then that just... like, that'll just disrupt any board. So I'm not a fan of Spreading Plague. I mean, when I'm playing Druid, I love it because it's so broken. But I think it's unhealthy for the game.
I mean, it's the single most important card in Druid. Like, against aggro, like against Zoo, if you don't... it's just so important. Like, I think they're keeping it in because they think it's, like, skill-based and they really like that. Like, oh, wow, this person made really... unintuitive trades to play around Spreading Plague. This is something we can highlight as like skill in the game, which is true, but at the same time I think that it just completely swings the game. Like, if you want to talk about cards where like that swing matchups, like I think Spreading Plague is probably one of the most winning cards in Druid against aggro.
How would you nerf Spreading Plague, Ray?
I mean, personally, I think just having it in the game just feels bad.
So you just remove it completely? Just be like, no more Spreading Plague. It has been removed from the game.
I don't know. Like, maybe they can change it to something like...
There was a really interesting one I heard where you make Spreading Plague cost 3 mana. But what happens is you go in and instead of making it just summon one scarab per minion, all of a sudden for every additional minion that you summon for a scarab, it costs one more. So it's a variable cost card.
Hmm. That's interesting.
So like if you have 4 minions on board, then all of a sudden it costs 6. But if you have like 5 or 6, all of a sudden it's a 7 or an 8 cost spell.
Yeah, and then if you make it 3, you can only have 7 minions on board, so the highest it'll cost is 10.
Maybe you just make it summon 3 scarabs or something.
Yeah, so I was thinking of something like that where... So I don't think it's a mana cost thing that you change, because they've already done that and it didn't really help. And I think if you just make it higher, it's still... Like, the card is just dumb in general. I think it's... So the two that I saw that I thought were interesting, and the first one, I'm not sure, it was making the 1/5s be 1/4s instead. I don't think that solves the problem, though. With what you said, Ray, like...
I think that would be good, but I think that they already have the Scarab as a card for other cards.
Yeah.
Like the Death Knight.
Like the Death Knight, and they don't want that inconsistency. It's the same reason why all Treants are 2/2s. It's like they all summon the same card.
I see. But the other thing was, like you said, have a limit of how many it summons. Like, it could be like it's equal to the amount of, and they would have to word it like weird, and that maybe that's why they haven't done it, because it's going to be weird wording, which is a dumb way to go about your game. But up to 4, like the amount of minions up to 3 or up to 4, maybe.
I mean, I think that if they were going to do that, they would just make it consistent, like just summon 3 scarabs.
But then you would definitely have to change a mana cost, I think.
Is 6 mana for 3 1/5s?
Well, and
that bad?
Well, maybe not, well, but...
It changes the utility of the card in that purpose, right? Where all of a sudden you're playing against aggro, you can play it on the board where they don't have anything.
Yeah,
there.
Where they don't have anything, and then... Yeah, like, I like the card being something that is based around your opponent's board size, because that does keep the skill-based part of that card in play. I think it's just maybe a limit, like summon, you know, X amount based on your opponent's board up to this amount.
I mean, they could just do different stats, like make them 1/3s. I understand why they wouldn't want to because of the consistency thing, but at the same time, they also have consistency issues that people don't know about with the poisonous spiders that come off Malfurion and the poisonous spiders that get made by the Webweave. Like, there's other cards that make the poisonous spiders. Right. I think it's the Webweave or something like that. And the poisonous spiders off of Malfurion, I think, cost 2 mana and the other ones cost 1 mana or vice versa. But it's difference in mana cost between the same card. They're both 1/2 poisonous creatures, but they cost different mana. So I guess I think they care about consistency like that, but they've shown in the past that they're either unaware of it or willing to not like care about the fact that that inconsistency is in the game.
Yeah.
So it would be cool to see them make it the Scarabs maybe 1/3s.
One of the things that that you definitely do see when Blizzard nerfs things, though, is that they don't make, I don't want to say they don't make elegant nerfs. They go through and then they change a physical number on the card. And I remember going back to when Ben Brode was talking about this, and he said, well, imagine someone hasn't played the game for 3 months. They come back and all of a sudden they're playing, they have their deck made with Spreading Plague, and all of a sudden it does something completely different than what it used to do. And he says, that's not what we want. So I think that that's one of their design philosophies. And if anything, it's a number on the card that gets changed rather than the effect.
Yeah.
See, maybe Ben Brode was made in a leadership role after like earlier nerfs happened, where like they've changed Unleash the Hounds completely multiple times. They've changed like Blood Imp completely. They changed Warsong Commander completely. Like they're completely different cards.
Well, I mean, Ben Brode was part of the leadership of Hearthstone from the very beginning of the game. Like, him and Eric Dodds designed the game together.
Maybe he just changed his mind on his nerfing philosophy.
Yeah, that's possible. I was just pointing out that Ben Brode, like, even though Eric Dodds was the game director of the game, Ben Brode was part of, like, getting Hearthstone created. Like, it was him and Eric Dodds were the two.
Is Eric Dodds still here, or...
He's not on the Hearthstone team for about a year and a half now.
Where did he go?
He still works for Blizzard. I don't know what team they've kept that a secret.
Maybe he's working on a new game. Probably. The World of Warcraft Battle Royale game.
There's a lot of incubator projects going on at Blizzard. So I wouldn't be surprised that he's on one of those.
There was a game that was Overwatch before Overwatch that got canceled, and then
Titan.
Like,
yep.
Yeah, that thing. Like, I feel like there's a bunch of stuff like that that probably goes on in these companies.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like, so Alan Adham, who was the one of the co-founders for Blizzard, he had left the company, 15, 16 years ago. Last BlizzCon, they announced that he was coming back. Maybe it was 2 BlizzCons ago. They announced that he was coming back. And his big thing, like, after being gone for, 15 years, and the big thing that he was doing when he was coming back was creating, like, an incubator in the at Blizzard. So this was a place where they can go and build new games and try them out and see what sticks and what doesn't. And if you go look at the Blizzard career pages, there's actually a lot of unannounced projects out there that are hiring right now. So I think in the next, like, I had predicted that we might hear something at this BlizzCon. We might hear our first one. But if we don't hear it this BlizzCon, I'm pretty sure next BlizzCon. And I think we're going to have a bunch of new games that Blizzard announces in the next few years that are based out of that whole incubator project thing that he's been spinning up.
I want a Blizzard fighting game. Blizzard FGC.
I mean, it's possible.
Another Smash.
I mean, I really wouldn't be surprised to see a Battle Royale game coming up Blizzard at this point. I really wouldn't.
Honestly, same. Everybody. I feel like everybody's going to do it.
Like, I feel like they're just going to add it in Overwatch and do it that way.
Oh, that would actually be Oh, that would make sense, though, right? Like, a little bit?
Yeah. Make a new mode in Overwatch, and it's just Battle Royale. I think it would be pretty cool. It'd be interesting. Maybe they'll just make a Battle Royale Hearthstone game. Who knows?
I could see it.
That's why they got rid of tournament mode. They're making Battle Royale Hearthstone.
I was just about to say that.
That's amazing. But, yeah, I mean, I think we kind of covered everything.
Is there anything else that you guys wanted to talk about on the nerfs or any other cards that you can think of? I think we all picked Spreading Plague, so that seemed to be the big one.
But... No, I'm content with the conversations that we had.
Cool. Anything else that you guys want to talk about? Meta? I don't really want to talk about the meta because that's going to change in like 3 days.
Yeah, there's really no point in talking about that stuff. We can predict what we think is going to happen, but I think I already like mentioned what I think. I think Questro is going to die down on ladder. I think Tempo Mage is dead. I think that they're promoting a more mid-range and control-based metagame, and I think that's what we're going to see. Bitcoin Mage stock is going up, boy! Invest now! The time is right. We're going to the moon!
Oh my god. I had forgotten about Bitcoin Mage, and I wanted to keep it that way.
Oh no, JR. You best believe I'm playing Bitcoin Mage day one Thursday. Actually, there is one thing in the news that we didn't talk about that I just remembered, because for some reason they decided to make the nerfs Thursday, which is also when the arena challenge thing that they did is. I don't know if you know what if you heard about that, but the... Yeah.
Is it a dual class?
The dual classes, but they have a challenge with Twitch where... First person to get like 5,000 gold or something crazy like that through Arena. So you have to start a new account fresh, and you have to get to 5,000 gold. No doing ranked play, no doing anything except for playing Arena. And the first person to 5,000 gold wins like $20,000 or something like that.
Whoa.
And there's
So the dual class Arena comes out on Wednesday. So just so you know, just so you don't miss a day, Ray, if you're going to do that.
I mean, miss I day, personally Ray. Don't know if I have the stamina to do something like that, but we'll see.
I mean, let's put it this way. Ray doesn't have the stamina to do a single Hearthstone tournament. So,
I mean, if we didn't have to stream it, I would be more inclined to do it. But the fact that I have to stream, you have to stream the whole thing. Like, I think I'll do it, like, the first day just because it's, like, good stream content. And if it's Wednesday, the day before the nerfs, like, it makes a lot of sense because there's really not much going on. I'll probably stream the first day.
You should stream it, but, like, stream and then be in, like, a chair, like, 40 feet back on your iPad playing it. just sitting there not talking with anyone. Oh, just literally playing it.
You have to... Oh, my God. You're a genius. Okay. Oh my god. Oh, Danny, you have. Oh, I can get on my main account and spectate the account that I have to make for this, and I can just be on my iPad, just like laying down in bed, just like put my webcam on my bed. It just has me like laying down, like I'll have like four chins, like with a bunch of pillows, like propping up my neck, just looking down at the iPad, just like. Should be super fat, have a Doritos bag next to me.
That's the way you win this. Next level strats.
And then I'll win and I'll be like, this is the peak performance of a Hearthstone player. This is what the peak performance of Hearthstone players looks like. Oh my god. I love you, Danny. This is happening. Thank you so much.
I'll tune in for this. That sounds like quality content that I would watch on Twitch. Is Ray laying in bed playing Hearthstone?
Not saying a word. You just stare. It's like one of those observation cams.
Yeah. Like you just have the microphone muted and you're just sitting there eating Cheetos.
Yes. Oh my god, Daddy, you can come over. You can just be like, pizza delivery. Yeah. You can just like hand me the pizza. I just start eating the pizza. Say nothing. Don't even hand you money.
Oh my god.
Yep. Oh,
this
man.
Is gonna be funny.
Oh, jeez, you guys.
Sounds like a good Wednesday.
I know what I'm doing this week. Nothing.
Oh man. Yeah. Oh, I clicked the wrong button right there. Wow, how did I do that? I think it's time to get out of here.
On that note.
Yeah, I think I had enough of that. So.
I'm gonna be practicing for Wednesday by sleeping in my bed right after this.
Oh man. So anyway, I lied last week. I thought we had an email. I was incorrect. So if you would like to email us, just send an email over to walmet@blizzpro.com. We'll answer it on next week's show. I would love to get some like BlizzCon emails. I think it would be really cool to do some segments where people can send in like screenshots or something like that, and we can play a game of to attack or not, or to clear the board or not, or something like that. And we can make up some kind of game. Like, that would be cool. Like, so
I mean, that's just like really good content, in my opinion. Just like analyzing somebody's play.
Yeah.
And like telling them what is the optimal, what they should do. Yeah. I think that's a really good learning segment. We should do that, actually. Oh,
yeah. So if you guys have like some emails like that, like take some screenshots. And we'll analyze it on the show. We'll try to do our best to do an audio podcast around that kind of content. But I think it would be pretty cool. We can make a segment around it. Send some emails like that over at wellmet@blizzpro.com. And that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
If you want some one-on-one coaching, though, just head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. There you can get one-on-one coaching with someone like Ray, Danny, or myself if you really want to waste your money. If you want to spend your money wisely, I recommend Ray. So patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. You also get like the podcast early if I remember to record in time. I didn't last week, but you guys will get it early this week, so that'll be cool. iTunes reviews, there's no iTunes reviews this week, but if you want to leave a 5-star review, just head over to iTunes, do a search for Hearthstone on the Podcasts, find us there, leave a 5-star review, and we'll read it on the show. We should be on Spotify pretty soon, too. I still need to do that thing, so be on the lookout for that. Let's see, what else is there? Shoutouts, and how can people get a hold of you? Ray?
Shout out to Blizzard for actually making some changes. I'm excited. Maybe I'll get to play Bitcoin Mage again. That might reignite the fire.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can find me on Twitter at PG_Racy, and you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/Racy591 this Wednesday, sitting in my bed doing nothing but playing Dual Class Arena
and eating Cheetos. It'll be a good time.
Pizza. Yes.
And Danny will be over. And I think I've seen this video somewhere before. Anyway.
Oh, no.
Danny, any shout-outs and how can people find you?
Shout-outs to the End of the Wild League. I had a lot of fun playing in that. The playoffs are pretty sweet this week. As for me, you can find me on Twitter, DannyDonuts_HS. You can find me on Twitch, DannyDonuts45, although I don't stream at all, so you probably don't want to follow me there. But, yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. Shout-outs for me. I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to give a shout-out to everybody that's going to be at BlizzCon, and I hope to see all your faces. And don't be shy and come say hi, because I guarantee if there's anybody that's being awkward in this, it's going to be me. So we'll just leave that the way that it is. You can find me over on Twitter at Eldorian. Anything else, guys? We done?
I think we're good.
I think we're good.
Let's head on out of here.
Let's get out of here. So thanks for joining us for episode 170 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet us at WellMetPodcast or email us at wellmen@blizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Butno for our amazing intro and outro music. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week.